Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Chappell, and I wanted to personally thank you for tuning in to today's edition of Daily in the Word. The purpose of this broadcast is to encourage God's people every day from His precious Word. The message you're about to hear is based on the Bible and will encourage, challenge, and strengthen you in your walk with the Lord. I'm thrilled that you are tuning in to listen, and it's my prayer that you will be encouraged by God's incredible Word. Thanks again for your prayers and for your support. May God richly bless you today.
The promises of the Bible and the person of Jesus Christ are more relevant and powerful than ever before. In our series entitled, Hope is Alive, your heart will be encouraged and your perspective renewed as you learn about the hope Jesus came to offer. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. At times, we all face situations that appear to be hopeless. But when viewed through the lens of God's Word and your relationship with Christ, there is always hope. In today's message, you will be equipped and challenged in your walk with God by studying the truths of God's Word. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Living Hope.
Now, the most important question concerning Jesus Christ this morning is that question, did He raise up from the grave? Did He raise up again? And if He is alive today, my friend, then you and I must no longer spend our time wondering how to live, but we must seek His will and follow His desire in our life. Now, I know there are those that have their doubts. There are those who wonder. I think about Thomas in the New Testament. The Bible tells us that Thomas doubted. He was actually known for being a doubter. And maybe you're like that. Maybe you're kind of checking things out and wondering how all of this could be and all about the story of the resurrection. The Bible says in John 20:28, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. When Thomas saw Jesus, he said to Jesus, my Lord and my God. By the way, Jesus did not say, Thomas, don't call me God. Jesus received that worship as He was the Son of God. And in John 20:29, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me and hast believed, blessed art thou. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Now thank God this morning for the fact that Thomas had faith in the resurrected Christ. And Thomas believed that the miracle had taken place. And I want you to know, my friend, this morning, that only a loving God would come back from the grave and show Himself alive to a doubter like Thomas. Only a loving God would spread His grace upon this man, Thomas. You see, if you desert God, He'll still love you. If you deny God, He'll still love you. If you doubt God, He'll still love you. He is a loving God, and there is hope in the miracle of the resurrected Christ. But I want you to notice, secondly, this morning, there is hope in the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to see this with me in Mark chapter 16 once again. And notice, if you would, in verse 9. Now, when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with Him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that He was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. I want you to see this morning the mercy of Jesus Christ. He comes to various different people in mercy and in love after His resurrection. I want you to notice, first of all, He had mercy for the unfaithful ones. For the unfaithful ones. You and I might have said, forget them. They didn't stay with me during my difficult time. But I want you to see the mercy of Jesus. Notice this mercy, if you would, in verse number 7. It says, but go your way, tell His disciples and Peter that goeth before you into Galilee. Now notice those two words, and Peter. Let's say those together. And Peter. Peter had been unfaithful. Peter had denied Jesus three times. Three different times while Jesus was experiencing His passion and His suffering. Three different times Peter said, I don't know Him. I don't know what you're talking about. John 18:25, he denied it and said, I am not. You know, there may be some folks here this morning who have been unfaithful to the Lord. Maybe when you're around Christian friends, you'll talk about him. But when you're at work and they're using his name in vain, or when there's times when you could have said something about the Lord, you did not. And in truth be known, there may be some like Peter today who have been warming their hands at the wrong fire, hanging with the wrong crowd, not necessarily saying bad things about Jesus, but just not really acting like you belong to Jesus or you know him. And yet to this unfaithful man, Jesus said, I want you to get my disciples and Peter. You see, he has mercy today for all who will turn to him. Not only did Jesus come to the unfaithful, I want you to notice secondly, he came to the unworthy. He comes to the unworthy. Notice if you will there in verse 9, it says, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene. Now, Mary was from the town of Magdala in the region of the Sea of Galilee. Her story is an interesting story. She had lived a wicked life. She had lived a life plagued by demons. In fact, the Bible says in Luke chapter 8 and verse number 2 that this woman, Mary Magdalene, had 7 devils living in her when she met Jesus Christ. She was a troubled woman. And I want you to know that the very first person Jesus personally came to was this woman, Mary Magdalene. She was an unworthy woman. She was not someone that we would have felt Jesus should give her time to. But he chose to come to her first. You know, we live in a world where men and women are filled with sin and demonic presence. Oh, it manifests itself with despondency and depression and hatred and anger. And sometimes we wonder what's happening in our society. Things are happening that we only knew about from the witchcraft-given villages of Africa. And now we see people in our own country piercing themselves like the ascetics of old. And we see people taking their body and doing strange things. And it seems like there's an influence coming into our country today that is sometimes unusual to observe. Where does that come from? I want you to know, my friend, it's normally not under the influence of God or His Holy Spirit or the Bible that people deface themselves and degrade themselves and mutilate themselves and spend time after time in immorality. Normally, that is not the work of God in one's life. Normally, it's a darkness. It's a depression. It's drugs. It's alcohol. It's the party life. It's fun for a while. There's pleasure in sin for a season. And yet to this particular woman, Jesus said, I know you've had a past, and I know you've had those 7 demonic spirits that plagued you, but I wanted to come to you first and let you know you still matter to me. And I want you to know, my friend, this morning, if you've been unfaithful, God in His mercy says, I have hope for you. And if you have been unworthy in the way you have lived, God isn't casting you out, but He says, my hope is alive for you. If you will turn to me, I will not cast you out. That's the kind of God we worship this morning. Hope is alive because of the empty tomb. There's hope in God's mercy. He has mercy for the unfaithful and the unworthy. Can I tell you this morning, He has mercy even for the unbeliever. Those who say, you know, you got to have your religious crutch, go ahead. Do you know God loves them too? Notice if you would in verse 11. And they, when they had heard that He was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. They, the disciples, they too had forgotten what Jesus said, and they believed not. Now, unbelief is growing today. America historically has been a Christian nation, but the fastest growing religion in America today is no religion. That seems to be on the rise more than anything else today. The fastest growing religion in America is no religion. People have come to a place where they have said, you know, I see all the different kinds of religion and I just choose none of them. There's an agnosticism, if you will. There may be a God, but I don't know how to find Him. And yet, my friend, even to those who say no religion, even to those who say I can't believe, the Lord Jesus Christ calls out to them And he says, I in my mercy am still willing to save you if you will turn from your supposed education and rationalism and relativism. And if you will turn from your wicked ways and turn to me, you can still find hope and mercy. In John chapter 11 and verse 25, Jesus spoke to an unbelieving woman and he said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Jesus said, I know you're confused, and I know you have a heart of unbelief, but I am the resurrection and the life. And if you will believe on me, you will never die. That's the promise of Jesus Christ. You see, my friend, there is hope this morning in the miracle of the resurrection. And there is hope this morning in the mercy of a loving God who says you may have been unfaithful and you may seem unworthy and you may be an unbeliever. No matter where you are or what you've done, the empty tomb says today, I love you and I'll accept you where you are. That's the first message out of the empty tomb from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's hope in his mercy. But notice finally this morning, there's hope in his message. The message we preach this morning is a message of hope for all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice what Jesus says in verse 15 of this passage. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now think, if you will, about the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel. Jesus had come to his disciples, and in verse 14, he challenges them because of their unbelief, and he challenges them that because they had forgotten that he would arise from the dead. And after he challenges them and says, hey, fellas, I can't believe you forgot, but now that you see that I'm alive, I want you to go into all the world and tell everybody this good news, this gospel. The word gospel means good news. And he says, I want you to tell everybody you meet that I was dead, but now I am alive, and that there is such a thing as life after death through the Lord Jesus Christ, who became the first fruits for all of us. And he said, I want you to go everywhere with the gospel message. I tell you what, this morning, I thank God for the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was reading years ago a Peanuts cartoon, and Lucy had said one day to Charlie Brown, she said, you know, I would have made a good evangelist. He said, really? How do you say that? She said, well, just the other day I converted one of the boys at school from his religion over to my religion. He said, is that right? And how did you do that? She said, it was easy. I hit him over the head with my lunchbox. Now, we're not here to hit anybody over the head with our theological lunchbox today, okay? But I want you to take just these next few moments and listen to the good news of Jesus Christ. And before we get to the real good news, we've got to just see some truth about ourselves so that we'll really appreciate what God has done for us. So look there in your notes if you like, or listen very carefully, because the good news simply is this. First of all, we must consider our own need. We must recognize Romans 3:23 when it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned. My friend, I am a sinner. Every pastor is a sinner. Every priest, every religious person. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now listen very carefully in the balcony and on the lower floor. If we weren't sinners, we wouldn't need a Savior. So we must first recognize that all have sinned. Notice, secondly, we must consider the deity of Jesus Christ, because that is a vital part of the gospel. John 10 and verse 30, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. John 8:58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. So Jesus tells us, I'm not just another guy coming down to the earth to give poetry and do nice works. But he says, before Abraham ever existed, I am. In other words, Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. He is high and holy and lifted up. Jesus is perfect. We fall short of Jesus Christ. And so we are sinners, but Jesus is perfect. Now then, thirdly, consider his death and his burial. This perfect Son of God came down to this earth. He was tempted in all points like we're tempted. But he never sinned. He never even thought of sin one single time. And the Bible says in Romans 4:25, he was delivered for our offenses. Now that's right there in your notes, but let it sink in for a moment. Jesus was delivered to the cross for our offenses. Say those two words with me. Our offenses. One more time. Our. Or you could say my sin. Jesus went to the cross for our sin. And when the Roman soldiers put those nails through his hands, he, as the eternal Son of God, shed blood on that cross and the crown of thorns upon his head. And the blood came down because he was paying for our offenses and for our sin. He was delivered for our offenses and he was raised up again for our justification. Now follow this. All of us are sinners. Jesus is the perfect Son of God. He died to bridge that gap so that we who were sinners could have a relationship with God. And the price he paid was the shedding of his perfect and innocent blood. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now listen, friend, you can get baptized in our baptistry until your hands look like prunes. That's not going to wash your sins away. You can join every church in Lancaster trying to find the right one, trying to become more enlightened. None of these things can wash our sins away. There is one way that our sins are covered, and that way is by Calvary, by the cross of Jesus who shed his blood for us. And so we have a need because of our sin, and the perfect Son of God came and died and rose again to make the payment. Now then, consider his resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now the essence of the gospel of Christ is that he is crucified and risen again. Baptism identifies us with a risen Christ. And the signs and miracles of the first century accompanied the believers, but were never essential to the gospel. It is only the shed blood of Christ that saves us from our sin. What is the gospel? Listen, it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the good news today is that we can receive Christ and have our sins forgiven and a home in heaven. That's why Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. There is hope in that message, the message of the gospel. But then secondly, there is the message of the second coming. Now, this is only logical if you think about it. Hey, if he's alive, we're going to see him again. Jesus Christ wants you to know, my friend, that we will see him again. If Easter says anything at all to us, it tells us that Jesus will always be with us. The pyramids of Egypt are famous because they contain the mummified bodies of ancient Egyptian kings. And the Westminster Abbey is renowned because it contains the bodies of English nobles and notables. And Mohammed's tomb is renowned because there in that stone coffin, you can find the remaining bones of Mohammed. Arlington Seminary in Washington, D.C. is renowned because there we find the resting place of our famous soldiers who have served so valiantly. But my friend, this morning, the garden tomb of Jesus in Jerusalem is renowned today for one simple reason, and that reason is because it is empty. You see, and today we must pause to realize that the empty tomb reminds us that Jesus Christ is coming again. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 8, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him the second time shall he appear without sin unto salvation. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, listen, I will come again, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. My friend, if you want to experience the miracle of God's hope, then you must come to Jesus Christ humbly and receive him as your Savior. For there is hope in the gospel message for all who will turn to Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Where are you looking for your hope today? You say the stock market was up Thursday. It may be down Monday. Don't pin your hope to the economy. Where are you looking for your hope today? I'm looking in politics. My friend, someone may be elected one year and unelected in another year. Don't look to politics. Where are you looking for your hope today? I challenge you, my friend, look to Jesus, who will never disappoint. You see, the Torah sends you to Moses, and the Quran sends you to Mohammed, and Buddhist invites you to meditate, and Spiritists invite you to levitate. A palm reader wants your hand, and a TV evangelist wants your money. Your neighbor consults her stars, and another reads her cards. The agnostic believes no one can know, and the hedonist doesn't care to know, and the atheist says, there's nothing I want to know. And in the middle of all that, people stop and they say, Lord, where is the truth? And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in the midst of all the religion, there stands this principle and this place known as the empty tomb. And I remind you this morning, there is hope in the empty tomb for all who turn to Christ by faith and believe in Him. Jesus said in John chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. My friend, do you understand this morning? The greatest joy in life is knowing Jesus Christ. And to as many as believe Him, He will call you His son, His daughter. He will bring you into His family. There will never be doubt in your mind about your eternity. There was a man in Africa who had been a very devout Muslim. One day he turned to Christ and became a Christian. His friend said to him, why would you do that? Why did you choose that? Why did you become a Christian? He thought about it for a moment, and then he said these words. It's like traveling down a road, and you're on your road seeking for the truth. And one day the road comes to a fork. It goes this way and this way. Standing on one side, there is a dead man saying, follow me. Standing on the other side, there's a live man saying, follow me. I chose to follow the live man. And my friend, we do serve a risen Savior. And I challenge you this morning to follow the live Son of God who loves you and gave Himself for you. And I remind you this morning that there is hope in this one, Jesus Christ. Hope for today and hope for eternity for all who believe on His name, shall we pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You this morning that hope is alive. We thank You that there is an empty tomb. And oh Lord, today we pray that Your hope would find a resting place in the hearts of every believer, in the hearts of those who turn to You and trust You.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Now, if you've missed any part of this program, including portions that we didn't have time for today, simply go to dailyintheword.org, where you can listen online anytime. You can also download the Daily in the Word podcast to your device and listen on the go. If you've ever wanted to travel to Israel and tour the Holy Land, you have an amazing opportunity on September 28th through October 7th, 2015. Pastor Chappell is teaming with Templeton Tours to host a 10-day expedition of the Holy Land that will be full of both inspiration and instruction. There is no better way to tour biblical sites than with a professional guide and alongside good Christian friends. You will visit Mount Carmel, Nazareth, the Sea of Galilee, Jerusalem, the Mount of Olives, the Garden Tomb, and a dozen other sites. There is also an optional 2-day church history tour in England at the end of the trip on October 7th through 9th. If you are interested in this very unique opportunity, contact Templeton Tours at 1-800-334-2630. Or visit templetontours.com. Pastor Chappell, along with the Lancaster Baptist Church Choir, Orchestra, and Media Team, will present Glorious Day, a captivating narrative about the life and death of Jesus, on Saturday, April 7th at 6 p.m. and Sunday morning, April 8th at 8:30 or 11 o'clock. We invite you to be our guest and experience Easter like never before. You can find out more about this event when you visit lancasterbaptist.org. On Easter Sunday, April the 8th, we invite you to celebrate the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus at Lancaster Baptist Church. Pastor Chapel will share a message of hope and encouragement you won't want to miss. Join us for Easter at Lancaster Baptist and experience the victory, hope, and new life you can have in Jesus. You are also invited to our Good Friday service on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church on Friday evening, April 6th at 7 o'clock. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chapel has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 28 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chapel's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chapel's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.